We labeled the shiur tonight Simcha relates to Yontif, Simcha relates to Sukkis, and Simcha beyond. So the truth to be told, when you speak about the mitzvah of Simcha, we can really give the shiur in any of the Shalosh Regalim, for sure. There is a mitzvah of Simcha on Pesach, there's a mitzvah. So I want to first analyze a little bit, both in Halacha and Hashkafa, what the mitzvah of Simcha entails, and then begin to branch out to the unique aspects of Simcha, because out of all the Shalosh Regalim, only Sukkot is called Zman Simcha Seinu. And then perhaps some take that we can go beyond the point of Sukkot proper. When we're focusing on the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif, so we find that, like many other mitzvahs, there are specific maaseh hamitzvah. There is a specific action that, or actions that a person is required to take in order to fulfill this mitzvah properly. Just as an example, we have other mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah of yeshiva basukkah. So we know there's a maaseh of living in the sukkah. You have to have a chefte, you have to have an object of a kosher sukkah, and there's certain activities you have to do in the sukkah. Or you have a mitzvah achilas matzah. So you have to have a chefzo of matzah, an object of matzah, and you have to do an achil, you have to eat the matzah.
Join the meeting.
A mitzvah of tkiya shofar, etc. Many, many mitzvahs have a ma'aseh that's connected to them. And Simchas Yontif also has a ma'aseh that's connected to them. However, it's not 100% clear what the ma'aseh ha-mitzvah is. What is the action that the Allah requires of us to fulfill the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif properly? The reason why perhaps it's so unclear is because the Torah doesn't really tell us what to do in order to be in the state of Simcha. The Torah tells us Basukos Teish Rishivas Yom. The Torah tells us Yom Truya Lachem Hear the Shofar. The Torah tells us Be'erev Toch L'matzah Sit the Matzah. But the Torah leaves it very vague. Be happy. Be happy, enjoy us in your festival. What do you do? So the Gemara tells us that there are actually different mice and different actions that are done in different times. There's the time frame of the Beis HaMikdash, and there is the Simcha B'Zman HaZeh post the destruction of Beis HaMikdash. During the period of the Beis HaMikdash, Simchas Yontif had a very, very particular, very specific tzura, a very specific manner to it. It required going to Yerushalayim, offering special karbanos, special sacrifices, partaking of that meat, what we're called Shalmei Simcha, special karbanos that were brought for the express purpose of eating the meat in a very special way, the Kedusha for Tahara, in Yerushalayim, after having gone to the mikvah, purifying oneself, eating it as a korban, and that was the mitzvah of V'samach Debechayecha. Gemara tells us we can't do that anymore. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash, so what do we do? The Gemara says what we do today is other actions, what are called Shar Smachos, other kinds of actions that also bring with them a feeling of joy, a feeling of happiness. For example, the Gemara says, in Simcha B'Yayin, some people enjoy a little bit of wine, obviously not a significant amount of wine, wine in moderation, very small amount of wine in appropriate halachic and hashkafic setting, in Simcha B'Yayin. Or the Gemara even tells us that the methods that are available for us may actually depend on different people. The Gemara says that women generally enjoy other things on Yontif. The Gemara talks about women having new clothing for Yontif, brings them great simcha. The Gemara talks about ketanim, children, having little candies and other treats, other goodies that enhance their simcha. So rather than having an almost like a one-size-fits-all simchas Yontif, achilas pasar shlomim, today we have what we call shah smachos, different kinds of smachos, different kinds of actions that one should participate in order to bring about simcha. There is a question in the Rishonim as to whether the fulfillment of Simchas Yontif in the absence of the Beis HaMikdash is actually a mitzvah min HaTorah. The Rambam's view is that the simcha that we perform today is very much a mitzvah min HaTorah, even though we don't have the Beis HaMikdash. And Tosfos is of the opinion that perhaps our Simchas Yontif today may only be of rabbinic nature, may only be of rabbinic standing. Maybe min HaTorah, Simchas Yontif must be involved, must involve the Beis HaMikdash proper. But practically speaking, we are going to fulfill Simchas Yontif today, either min HaTorah, min Derabbanan, and each and every one of us are going to do different kinds of actions that bring about a state of Simcha. So again, whether it's yayin, whether according to some it's eating of basar, whether women have unique things that make them happy, perhaps children have other things that make them happy. Everyone's going to be involved in some shape or form in the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif. However, all of the above are ma'isim, are actions. The Rambam tells us in Simchas Yontif that there's another dimension of Simchas Yontif, which is almost, I don't want to put the statement on more significant, but definitely critical, and that is what's called Simchas Halev. The fact that a person is in a cheery mood, the fact that a person's disposition on Yontif is a very upbeat kind of a mood, says the Rambam. Chayev Adam Leo Samech V'Tov Lev, a person is obligated. This is not a Rambam telling you, you know, a Musa Sefer. This is not a Rambam telling you, reading a book, a guide to self-help. This is a Rambam paskining a Shaila, Halacha L'Maisa. Chayev Adam Leo Samech V'Tov Lev. This is an obligation. The Rambam's view of this is a Torah obligation, a mitzvah D'Araisa, to be in the state of Simcha, to be in the mind state of Simcha. And if a person just simply goes through the motions of he has his meat and he has his wine, or a woman has her new clothes and the kids are having their candies, but they're just down, they're just miserable. So says the Rambam, that's not really the fulfillment of Simchas Yontif. That's the fulfillment of the action of Simchas Yontif. But one almost missed the boat. One is lacking the Simchas Halev. Perhaps there is a relationship between the Simcha of the Maisim and the Simchas Halev, following along the footsteps of the Sefer Chinuch. Sefer Chinuch develops a principle about many, many mitzvahs called Achareya Pa'ulas Yim Shechol Levavos, that we have many great, grandiose, almost philosophical truths that the Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be cognizant, to be aware of. Let's say, for example, the events of surrounding Pesach, the great messages of Yetzias Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the creator of the world, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who controls the world, and the special role that Klal Yisrael have in a relationship with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All these grandiose philosophical themes that make up the celebration of Pesach. Notice that the Torah does not tell us to just kind of sit around and twiddle our thumbs and just contemplate philosophy on the Leil HaSeder. The Torah does not tell us just sit around and think about how happy you are to be free. The Torah tells us eat matzah and eat moro and bring a korban Pesach and Chazal instituted drink four cups of wine and do a seva, lean at the seder and act out what it means to be ben chayrin, what it means to be free. Act out what it means to celebrate the miracles that HaKadosh Baruch Hu performed for us or to bring things closer to home in terms of sukkahs. We have this grandiose idea called Laman Yedid Erasechem Kibah Sukkahs HaShavtas Bnei Israel. We're supposed to think about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu protected us and continues to protect us, and will always protect us. And we're supposed to sit around during this week of the year and remember the great events of the Midbar, the great protection, the clouds of glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu spread over us, and those Sukkos Mamish, those little two-by-nothing huts that we lived in for 40 years under complete divine protection. And we're supposed to remember once again how this was the climax of Yetzias Mitzrayim, all the wonderful things that accompanied the midst of Sukkah. So imagine if a Kadosh Baruch Hu would have told us 1 week a year, close your eyes and sit around and think about the Midbar. It doesn't work that way. Kadosh Baruch Hu created us with the only ability for us to gain these philosophical truths and to internalize these basic, as you saw this Amuna, is to go through actions. We have to go through the motions. We have to sit in the sukkah. Not right now, but Sukkos HaShavtas Bnei Israel, I look up to the sky and I see a Kadosh Baruch Hu is washing over me. I can't just sit around, close my eyes inside my bedroom and think Kadosh Baruch Hu. No, go out to the sukkah, look up at that tzchach and watch, see a Kadosh Baruch Hu, Levan Yedid Erasechem, Kibah Sukkos HaShavti. Achrei Pa'ulasim Shechol Levavos. If a person goes through actions, those actions will transform the way a person thinks and feels. And the same is true when it comes to Simcha. If a person simply goes through the motions of basar yayin, but doesn't internalize, those are hechitimtzus. Those are actions that should enable you to put you into a good mood. And a person likes to have a nice meal. A person likes to have these beautiful things. A person likes to have the little extra treats for yontif. That's good. And that's good. That's wonderful. It's a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants v'simach b'chagecha. We should be a Simchas Halev. That's the real ikar. That's the kiyum of the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif. the significance of Simchas Yontif is a shiur that we really could have given, and we've probably spoke about this in the past a little bit, on Pesach, and on Shavuos, and on Sukkos, such media terrors. All the Shalosh Regalim are appropriate times to focus on Simchas Yontif. But there is no question that Sukkos is different. That whatever lessons of Simchas Yontif, both in Halach and Hashkofa, so we up the ante when it comes to Sukkos. We know, even from our own davening, the other two of the Shalosh Regalim are identified event, historical event that occurred, Zman Chirusenu, the time of our Chirusenu, the giving of the Torah Shavuos. Sukkos is Zman Simcha Seinu. Simcha defines Sukkos. We don't say Zman Yeshiva Tachas Anan Yakovel. That's not what we say. We say Zman Simcha Seinu. Simcha is the essence of the day of Sukkos. And in fact, this idea is born out in the Chumash itself. Because if you look in the Pesukim, particularly in Parashas Re'eh, with the midst of Simchas Yontif appears, count how many times the Torah speaks about Simcha on the Yom Tov. So you'll be shocked if you take a look, it's the last couple of series of Pesukim in Parashas Re'eh. It's the laning for actually Shemini Atzeres, the second half of the laning for Shemini Atzeres. The Torah speaks about Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. And you may be surprised that concerning the Yontif of Pesach, there is no mention of Simcha. The Torah doesn't say anywhere in Parshas Re, or for that matter, anywhere in Chumash, that there's a mitzvah of Simcha in Pesach. How do we know that happens to be, as I'm not mitigating the Simcha of Pesach, we know it based on Torah Shabbat Peh. Oral tradition teaches us that the Shalosh Regalim are compared to one another, even though it doesn't say it explicitly in the Chumash. Shavuos, it says one time about Shavuos, the Samachta, the Fleshem Lakecha, one time, almost in passing, it says, by the way, you should be happy on Shavuos. Sukkos, it says it, the Samachta b'chagecha, the Hayisa, the end of the Pasuk, Hayisa achsamech. It says it actually twice, and it even says it a third time. In Parshas Emor, the Torah speaks about Simcha on Sukkos, specifically on Sukkos, Samachtem l'fnei Hashem Lakechem Shavuos. It does not say on Pesach we have to be happy. For 7 days we do. The halach is you have to have simcha on Pesach. It does. It says it barely once by Shavuos, but in Sukkot it says it three times. Smachtem lefnei Hashem lekechem shivus yom. In fact, there are halachas that are derived from the uniqueness, the unique aspect of simcha on Sukkot, and that is number one, the lulav, which is a vehicle of simcha. The mitzvah of taking lulav and esrog is an expression of simcha. That lulav and esrog is actually taken bizman shebeis hamikdash hayakayim, when the beis hamikdash stood, was taken every single day min haTorah. Today, that we no longer have a beis hamikdash, so the mitzvah min haTorah of lulav and esrog is really only the first day. The whole week, the fact that we shook a lulav today, that's a bit the rabbanon. That was instituted after the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. Mishnah tells us that after the Churban, Rav Yechim and Zakeh instituted as a way to remember what it was like in the good old days. The mitzvah of Lulav Yesrig was the entire week. Today, Minat Torah, it's only the first day. Midirabbanon, to remember the Beis Hamikdash, the entire week. How do we know that you have to shake Lulav Yesrig the whole week in the Beis Hamikdash? Usmachtem lefnei shemarkechem. So the mitzvah of Lulav Esrog itself is an expression of Simchas Hayom, of joy. It's a very joyful, very happy-oriented mitzvah. And that mitzvah applies b'deraisa in the Torah for the entire week, at least in the Beis Hamikdash. In addition, we find that there's actually a halachic significance of what's called the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. We sometimes think, oh, what's a Simchas Beis HaShoeva? Simchas Beis HaShoeva is a place where people go and dance and, you know, dance and sing, you know, in some big sukkah somewhere. That's nice. What we do, Bizman HaZeh, and unfortunately, Sukkot Shoevas are not really occurring at all in any shape or form, the Sukkot. But, Yet Hashem, back next year, we'll have the Beis HaMikdash, the real Sukkot Shoevas. But the Sukkot Shoevas that we call Sukkot Shoevas are nice. That's not the real Sukkot Shoevas. The real Sukkot Shoevas was a special nightly celebration that took place in the Beis HaMikdash with all kind of joyous activities, and dancing and singing. The Mishnah even describes juggling acts that took place, all kind of almost like wild kind of things that we wouldn't expect in any place. The Beis HaMikdash of all places was a special Simchas Hayom of Simchas Joy. It was every single night. The Rambam in the end of the Lulav tells us, how do we know that we're supposed to make these big grandiose parties? We don't have Simchas Shuevas on Pesach. We don't make them on Shavuos. So why do we have them only on Sukkot? As the Rambam, the same possible. That there's something special, something unique about Sukkot. Again, not only in terms of an Anusach HaTfilas Ban Simchas Seinu, but a whole halachic aspect is now being revealed to us, that there's a special aspect of Simchas Hayom and Sukkot goes above and beyond the other regalim. Pasuk tells us in Navi, Ushafta Mayim B'Sofra. When you draw water, so you're supposed to draw the water B'Simcha. And that Pasuk Ushafta Mayim B'Sofra, Mayim HaYeshua, is almost has a double meaning. It means in a figurative sense, Ushafta Mayim B'Sofra, Mayim HaYeshua, like the waters of deliverance, some very spiritual kind of a Mayim. But it also means physical water. And when do we draw water with a great fan made celebration? The Mishnah tells us at the end of Masechta Sukkah, there was a special mitzvah on Sukkot, not any other regalim, a special mitzvah of Nisach HaMayim. There's a special tradition that we have all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu. It actually doesn't appear in the Chumash itself. It's a tradition that we have, Halacha Moshe Mesinai, that on Sukkot, every day of Sukkot, there was a special mitzvah. Now, they would go and draw water from the springs outside the Beis HaMikdash, and they would carry that water with trumpets playing, with music, accompanied by dancing, and they would bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Mizbech. They would actually pour the water on the Mizbech, something that is unheard of the rest of the year. The mitzvah in the Torah of Nisach HaMayim every day of Sukkot. And that Nisach HaMayim, Rashi explains, is supposed to be accompanied with great celebration. As it says, Ushafta by Mesasa Ben Yeshua. And in fact, Rashi says that's the reason for the Simchas Beis Shoevas. The reason why we have these big parties every night is to accompany the mitzvah of Shiva Samayim, the drawing of the water, which is going to be used for the mitzvah of Nisach HaMayim. So once again, we find that in Anusach HaTfila, Sukkot is known as Zman Simchas Seinu. In the world of Halacha, so Sukkot is a special unique Simcha in terms of Lulav all week, in terms of Simchas Beis Shoevas, Nisach HaMayim. And even the Sukkot itself, Sukkot is clearly highlighted above and beyond all the other regalim. And the question is, what is it about Sukkot? Manishtan is Sukkot, a little strange way of presenting it, Manishtan is Sukkot from the other regalim, that Sukkot carries with it such a high level of simcha. So there is a fascinating Rambam that appears in four places in Hilchos Chanukah. The Rambam, I'm jumping ahead to the next Yantif, but the Rambam is discussing actually the mitzvah of Hallel. The Rambam talks about all the details of Hallel and Hilchos Chanukah. And the Rambam quotes the different days of the year that we recite Hallel and the different days that we should have recited Hallel and don't recite Hallel. Two of the times of the year when one would have expected Hallel to be recited, and in fact is not, are Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Why don't we recite Hallel, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? Those are days of Yantif. So why are they any less than Sukkot? Why are they that less than Pesach and Shavuos? So the Rambam paraphrases the Gemara in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, but the Gemara tells us that in reality we should have recited Hallel on Rosh Hashanah. We should have said Hallel on Yom Kippur. The Yom Tov generally associated with Hallel, but we cannot do so. Why can we not do so? Because Sifrei Chayim v'Sifrei Meisim Sukhlufam. Because the books of life and death are open in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How can you say with a straight face Shira? Would be almost antithetical to the very essence of the day. If you really truly believe that the Sifrei Chayim, Sifrei Meisim, open Rosh Hashanah, if you really believe that your fate for the whole year is being determined right now, how can you possibly sing? You're shaking. You're frightened. You're terrified. And therefore, Einam Imhal. So the Rambam in Hilchos Chanukah, when he quotes this Gemara, so he uses the following phrase, a very fascinating presentation. The Rambam writes that days of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are Einam Yemei Simcha Yaseira. They are not days of excessive joy. The implication of the Rambam is that there are days of joy, they're just not days of excessive, almost like unbridled joy. Why? Why are Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur not days of great, excessive, exuberant joy? Says the Rambam, how could they possibly be? Sifrei Chayim, Sifrei Meisim, Sukkah Mufanav. The Yibei Pachad, Medaga, the days of fear, the days of trembling, days of great trepidation. The If you really believe that the Yamna rhyme, so then there aren't days of Yimei Simcha Yaseira. So the Rambam invokes a phrase, Simcha Yaseira. Yaseira, Yaseira, meaning more. They're not days of more joy. They're not days of excessive. They're not days of unlimited joy. So that phrase, Simcha Yaseira, appears in another place in the Rambam, in the end of Hilchos Lulav, when the Rambam discusses the status of Sukkot. Says the Rambam, Sukkot is a time of Simcha Yaseira. So unlike Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, which are days of Simcha, but not Simcha Yaseira, Sukkot is a time of Simcha Yaseira, excessive, almost unlimited, unbridled joy. What changed? What changed in our psyche? What changed in our emotions? What changed in our mindset from the days of the Yom Kippur to the days of Sukkot? It seems very. What was the issue on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? What was the akiva? What prevented us? What was the obstacle to calling Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur days of excessive joy? Because of the pachad in the year, because of the uncertainty in the year, because of the Yimei HaDin. The minute that Yimei HaDin are lifted from us, so then we fall back on what Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur really should have been all along. Rosh Hashanah is an unbelievable great time. It's a phenomenal time. Happy New Year. It's the beginning of a new year. What could be greater than that? Yom Kippur, today we got the second set of luchos. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgives us. It's a phenomenally happy day. So why aren't we jumping from the rooftops of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? Because we're frightened. Because we have Emes HaDin. And Emes HaDin is an obstacle, prevents us from having that Simcha Yaseira. But the minute that Emes HaDin is removed from us, that we fall back to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur really should have been all along. And that sets the stage for the mindset for Sukkot. Sukkot is a realization that not only has the din been completed, but the din has been completed in our favor. Because as much as we shake Rosh Hashanah, as much as we shake in Yom Kippur, the minute Yom Kippur is over, we totally change mindset. So that last second of Ne'ilah, we're shaking, we're thinking, oh yeah, me, Adeya, Krishma, Chasmeinu, B'Seifachem, Toivim, Chasmeinu, Rabbanu Shalom, Hashem, Hashem, Kirach, Mechanan. So that we last hour, that last Hashem Elokim of Yom Kippur, but the minute that shofar blows, there's a transformation in our psyche, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to us, Alach Tikid Varecha. But that was the first Yom Kippur. That's the celebration of Yom Kippur. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, the din's over, and the gzar din atova. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu now looks at us in a different way, and we look at ourselves in a different way. So once Yom Kippur comes to an end, and the gzar din is lifted from us, the gzar din now becomes the gzar din atova, there's a tremendous sense of joy. And that's it. But perhaps it's more than that. Perhaps it's not just an end of the fear and trepidation, but it's something even more powerful than that. The Rambam in Hilchos Teshuvah describes the status of an individual in their relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu prior to doing tshuva and post doing tshuva. Prior to doing tshuva, the Rambam depicts a very, very, almost a pathetic status. Rav describes a person who is rachok, who is distant from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. There's a barrier between you and a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And how does that barrier express itself? Says the Rambam, you don't feel a Kadosh Baruch Hu next to you. When you open up your mouth to daven, you almost feel like you're talking to the wall. When you do mitzvahs, you get the feeling like nobody cares. Kadosh Baruch Hu is not even looking at you. And there's this alienation that is so troubling, that is so hurtful, that is so painful to the soul. That's chait. That is, in a certain sense, the ultimate einish of chait is that a Kadosh Baruch Hu takes a step away from us. That hest upon him, you can have hest upon him, a Kadosh Baruch Hu hides his face, both for the individual and for the tzibur, for the Jewish people. That feeling, that gnawing feeling that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is not really, doesn't really care, doesn't really watching us, that's chait. And what changes? Tshuva changes all that. We sometimes think, oh yeah, tshuva is, well, I did X, Y, and Z wrong, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu therefore is angry at me, and therefore has to show him a certain punishment. I'll do tshuva and get a jail free card. Tshuva is much more profound. Tshuva, says the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, is a repairing of that relationship. Tshuva is a reconnecting with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Lashuv means to return. I'm returning. I'm returning back to Kodesh Baruch Hu. And now, what are the practical ramifications of that? So the Rambam depicts the exact opposite of how he depicted a life of chait. He now begins to describe and illustrate a life of tshuva, post tshuva. Before he was chayzer b'tshuva, he died. Before he was chayzer b'tshuva, he did mitzvahs. And he imagined Kodesh Baruch Hu tshuva. So like, he crawls out to Kodesh Baruch Hu, and he realizes that Kodesh Baruch Hu answers right away and listens. He does mitzvahs, and he all of a sudden has that feeling, it's almost like that proverbial like pat on the back, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I'm here. And then the Rambam uses a powerful phrase, he says, Kodesh Baruch Hu not only accepts your mitzvahs, Kodesh Baruch Hu is Mitzavalahem. Kodesh Baruch Hu desires your mitzvahs. Now, again, we use terms like desire for Kodesh Baruch Hu, obviously using terms that we can hold on to just as human beings. Kodesh Baruch Hu is obviously not a human, doesn't have emotions. But yet, that's the lashon that we use. Kodesh Baruch Hu gets the nachas ruach from his mitzvahs. Kodesh Baruch Hu wants you, Kodesh Baruch Hu wants you, he wants your chesed, he wants your tefillahs, he wants your brachas, he wants to hear from you. He wants to have a close relation with you. It's post tshuva. That's how a person feels Mitzvah Yom Kippur. Mitzvah Yom Kippur is not just Baruch Hashem, we made it 25 hours through the fast, and we're still standing on our feet, kind of. Ooh, Baruch Hashem, we got through all 10 of chait, we knocked them all off. Oh, the feeling of Mitzvah Yom Kippur is a reconnecting to Kodesh Baruch Hu. What mood does that put you into? How do you feel when you're reconnected with the Kodesh Baruch Hu? How do you feel? Never felt so good in my life. It's gefaldik. Why are you a dick? What a simcha. That simcha is the engine that drives how you feel in Sukkot. So Pesach's a great yontif, and it's a very happy time. It's a lot to celebrate. Shavuot's got the Torah. It's a lot to be happy about. But there's nothing greater than Sukkot. There's no simcha more genuine than Sukkot. Because Sukkot is a simcha of a close, intimate relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu that was in jeopardy. Baruch Hashem not only has been rectified, Chazal say, the person that becomes a Baal Tshuva, I don't mean a Baal Tshuva like we colloquially call a person who wasn't from, now the first thing. We're all Bali Tshuva. First is Chaz B'Tshuva, Yom Narayim, Rashad, Yom Kippur. And now they have not just a rectified relationship with Kodesh Baruch Hu, but a rejuvenated relationship, a more intense relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, a more loving relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Ein l'chah simcha g'dol, there is no greater simcha. The question is, where do we go from here? Now that we just have a better understanding of where Sukkot fits into our psyche, Sukkot is going to come to an end in a couple of days. It's going to be a Mitzvah Shem, beautiful combination of the Yontif. It's going to be a Shmini Atzeres. And yes, I'm going to say there's going to be a beautiful Simchas Torah. It's going to be a little bit of a different Simchas Torah, yes. But the heart and soul of Simchas HaTorah, the heart and soul of culminating the great joy of this time, it may not take some of the, you know, form, some of the external form of some of the what we're used to. And our kofos will be different. And some of the merrymaking will be different, no doubt. But the quote from the beginning of the year, some of the maaseh may be different. The lave doesn't have to be any different. The simchas alev doesn't have to be different. The tremendous joy of love, relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, that's not going to be touched. Nothing can touch that. That's there. That's burning inside each and every Jewish heart. That's the Simchas HaTorah. Sometimes, most years, we have dancing that helps, you know, helps bring it out a little bit. It's like that bosser that we have on Yontif. But the bosser is not ma'akev. It's the simchas halev that matters. So, Beit Hashem, I'm looking forward to a wonderful combination of Yontif. We still have a couple of days left of Chol HaMoed. We have a Shana Rab and Shmini Atzeret and Simchas Torah. Boom, we have so much to look forward to. But then, there's going to be an Ishuchag. It's going to be the next day. This year, when the calendar falls out, it's going to be a Monday morning. Some years we luck out and Yontif ends towards the end of the week, so we only have to go to work for 1 or 2 days, then we run back to the Shabbos. We're kind of high behind Shabbos Brachos. But again, Monday morning is going to bring back all the challenges and all the distractions of a post-Yontif season. Where do we go from here? How do we maintain that simcha? There's a beautiful, beautiful minhag that we have. At the end of Yom Kippur, we recite Hashem Elokim 7 times. Listen for that minute. Grand finale, Hashem Elokim 7 times. One of the reasons, and again, these are obviously a very deep Kabbalah, the deep secrets of Torah. But one of the reasons why we say Hashem Elokim 7 times is the same way that we begin, almost we begin Rosh Hashanah, we begin the Tekeh Shofar with Lam Ratzech and the Kach Mizmor 7 times. So we complete Yom Kippur with Hashem Elokim 7 times. Why is that? Because the Svarim HaKadosh, the Holy Svarim talk about our Kadosh Baruch Hu is in the seven heavens. Kadosh Baruch Hu Shekhinah, his divine presence is so high. Again, whatever that means, no concept, but we'll just use the terms that appear in the Holy Svarim. Kadosh Baruch Hu's presence is seven Rekiyas, seven heavens above us. Comes the beginning of Rosh Hashanah. Allah Kim Besu Hashem Kol Shofar. We're about to build a shofar, and we're going to bring a Kadosh Baruch Hu Shekhinah down to the world. So each parak, each time we recite, down one step lower, one notch closer to us. And as the assessment tshuva come to an end and Yom Kippur is about to be completed, we almost escort HaKadosh Baruch Hu back. And we say Hashem Elokim, one heaven, the next heaven, etc. So I always find myself when I say Hashem Elokim with almost like mixed emotions. On the one hand, it's a very, very sad time. Because you're saying goodbye to a beloved guest, the Shem Elokim, Kadosh Baruch Hu is here for 10 days with us, Hirshah Shevi Matzo, in a very, very special closeness that doesn't exist the rest of the year. And now we're saying goodbye. So Shem Elokim is almost like a depressing time. And yet, I just finished telling you before, the end of Yom Kippur is a tremendous joy. How could it be? So I think the answer is that we escort the Shekhinah up the Shemayim. But we say to Kadosh Baruch, you know what? We're coming along a little bit. We're going to elevate ourselves and we're going to find a way to make our way up a little bit closer, a little bit higher than perhaps we were. So we're not saying goodbye to Kadosh Baruch at the end of Yom Kippur. We're taking Yom Kippur and saying Kadosh Baruch, we're not saying goodbye because we're coming along. And I think that's the feeling of Matzoi Sukkos as well. When Sukkot comes to an end, either a person could almost give a groan and say, oh, Yontif's over, now back to the mundane. Forget about everything we've accomplished over this wonderful, glorious month of Tishrei. We could say, no. Wow. Look what we did this Tishrei. Look at our Rosh Hashanah. Look at our Yom Kippur. Look at our Sukkot. Look at our Shmini Atzeres. Look at Sukkot's Torah. And especially this year when they were very challenging, Rosh Hashanah was different from a regular Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Kippur for many of us was very, very different from a regular Yom Kippur. For all of us, it was different in some shape or form. And Sukkot is not quite the same, and Simchas Torah will not be the same. But we may not have some of the external maisim quite in sync with what we're used to. The Kadosh Baruch Hu is still there. Same Kadosh Baruch Hu. Love is still there. The intense, close relationship is still there. Even without the Simchas Beis Shleimus, perhaps without the glorious Hakofis, Kadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael are still together. And perhaps this year more than any other year, when it comes to Tzoi Simchas Torah, Kadosh Baruch Hu is not saying goodbye to us. We're going along a little bit. And we're going to be even closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu, because we know, especially this year, we need that extra boost. And Kadosh Baruch Hu knows that we need it. Kadosh Baruch Hu knows that this year we all need an extra chizuk. So hopefully we should be to continue the beautiful celebration of the second year of Sukkot that is now upon us, followed by the glorious days of Shmini Atzeres Simchas Torah, and start off with Hashem, Shabbos Brachos. Start off the knowing that the Kodesh is very much with us and will remain with us, and will continue to guard us, to guide us. We should be zocha to have many, many opportunities of Simcha together. Smeichem, sasim, smeichem, v'minyan shalom. Based on Mikdash, the glorious based on Mikdash, the bottom here. Wish everybody a good moed, and that Hashem will only be in touch for a very happy occasion. Thank you.